Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining me this morning for a return engagement, Daniel Anderson, the Assistant Scout Executive and Chief Operating Officer for the East Texas Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America, covering 17 counties in East Texas. Great to have you back, Daniel.
Great to be back. Always good to get a chance to talk to you and get to talk about scouting and share with all of the counties that we serve.
Sure thing. Don't forget, InFocus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus, and InFocus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Daniel, scouting, it's been going on for over 100 years. Started in the United States in the early 20th century, and it was just a few years after that that it began in East Texas. I think the first scout troops actually started in this area around, I think, in 1915?
Those were the first groups that really started up out here. The current council format didn't begin until 1930, but there's a long, rich history of scouting in East Texas.
Mm-hmm. And today, in 2019, 17 counties in East Texas, Smith and Gregg counties, Cherokee over to the Louisiana line, Lufkin, Nacogdoches, that area, even the Sabine and St. Augustine counties in far south.
Those are our
Texas.
Most recent additions, yeah, all the way down in the southeast, over to Anderson, our
Anderson,
southwest border.
Yeah, I was involved in scouting in Anderson and Cherokee counties back in the early days. So it's a big area, and that's just to give people a scene-setting experience as we move on with just some of the things that we're going to talk about over the next half hour, what scouting is really doing around East Texas right now and what you're looking forward to, some of the changes that have come up in the scouting program over the years. And let's start with Cub Scouting, because when you get into scouting, that's where you start. And also, you're smack dab in the middle of recruiting season, and I know that's a real busy time for you, but how have things been going with that?
Well, Cub Scouts is kindergarten through fifth grade, so we've really been focusing on that as our entry-level program. And as far as our recruitment season goes, it's been fantastic so far. The early returns have been really impressive. We are running ahead, especially in Gregg County, in terms of a lot of the Cub Scout packs that have been recruiting out there already. We're just starting to see some of the numbers come in Smith County, Cherokee County, Rusk County, but we've been really impressed with how those have looked so far. So we're optimistic, we're enthusiastic. We think over 800 Cub Scouts will join between August 1st and December 31st. We're hoping to get that number closer to 1,000, but we're confident we'll for sure have over 800 new Cub Scouts join us this fall.
800 new Cub Scouts. That is, and I can tell you just from my own experience in scouting, that's a lot of Cub Scouts right there. How do you go about the recruiting process? Exactly how does that work? I guess it's kind of multifaceted.
Well, the biggest thing is our relationship with our school districts, and we're really fortunate to have had some great support, especially this year. I mean, every year, but especially this year in Longview Independent School District, Tyler Independent School District. We've got a very good relationship with Henderson, and even some of our smaller communities, Beckville, not a town a lot of people know about or hear about, but they have jumped in full force with scouting being one of their emphasis programs in the school district. So we're really fortunate to have a presence in Panola County and really be able to grow through the schools. What we typically try and do is send flyers home, then put a representative in the schools to talk to the kids, work with the administrators to have a recruitment night at the school, so it's a place that parents are familiar with and comfortable with, and then really build that relationship between a Cub Scout pack and the school that those kids come from. So that's our biggest method, our biggest opportunity, is to go through the schools.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's been that way for many, many years. I know back when I was involved in scouting and the exploring program, schools were just a vital, schools and churches actually, a vital part of scouting recruitment and retention and just building the program. Have you noticed any trends over maybe the last little while?
Well, the big one is that starting last year, girls were able to join Cub Scouts as of September 1st, 2018. And so we weren't really sure what kind of response we were getting. And obviously, we hoped that the sisters of existing scouts and that parents who had a familiarity with scouting would come to us. But what we saw was that about one in every 10 Cub Scouts that we signed up last fall was female. So 80 of the 800, approximately. Well, this year, that number is running a lot closer to 1 in 5, and that's with increases in our overall number of Cub Scouts recruited. So it's not like we're just seeing a higher percentage, but fewer overall Cub Scouts. So I think this comes from a couple different places. We have Cub Scout packs that are now more comfortable. They wanted to kind of wait and see. They were not early adopters to the Family Scouting program, so they wanted to see how it would work with adding girls into Cub Scout packs. But I think we also have more girls who are interested. They've seen their friends going on the campouts. They have heard about the things that Cub Scouts get to do. They are excited about the leadership opportunities, the outdoor experiences. So we have both more opportunities for girls to join, but we also have more girls who are interested in joining. So it's really been a good meetup on both sides of that equation.
That's very interesting. We're talking to Daniel Anderson, the Assistant Scout Executive and Chief Operating Officer for the East Texas Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. A little bit of contact information here. The scouting office for the East Texas Area Council is in Tyler, right across the street from Tyler Junior College. It's at 1331 East 5th Street and has been there forever. I guess close to 60 years now. The number is 903-597-7201, and I think it's had the same number for about 60 years as well. So it's good old reliable, always knowing how to get in touch with a Boy Scout office. And the website that folks want to go to, I understand, if they are interested in learning more about scouting and are just kind of novices to the program, is beascout.org. beascout.org. That's your starting point. And then I understand there's another website that they can be directed to once they've gone through some, I don't know, whatever you call the online version of paperwork. But beascout.org is the best starting point as far as the internet goes, right?
Right. It's really the Google Maps for Cub Scouting or for any kind of scouting in your area. So whether you've got a high school student who is looking for career education through our exploring program, whether you've got a middle schooler who wants to get involved in Scouts BSA, or an elementary school student who wants to just get started on their journey in Cub Scouts, beascout.org will essentially let you put in your address, and it will show you all of the scouting groups that are around you, when they meet, what their contact information is. That's really the entryway. And you can even go so far as to fill out an application through beascout.org online and submit it to that unit if you want, and then they'll be in touch with you.
Sounds good. While we're on the topic of talking about the different levels and divisions of scouting, we've talked about Cub Scouts, and let's go ahead and talk about the Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts. What else is out there? The Exploring Program, and I think you mentioned Venture Scouting. Can you kind of run those down for us real quick?
Sure, yeah. We mentioned Cub Scouts, which is our entry-level elementary age program. And then Scouts BSA is for middle school and high school students, you know, ages 11 to 18. Uh-huh. That's what we used to call Boy Scouts, but because we now have girl troops as well, Scouts BSA is the program name. Mm-hmm. We're still the Boy Scouts as a company, but the program name is Scouts BSA. And we've really seen some excellent growth there, not just from adding girl troops, but there is a higher number of Cub Scouts who are staying with the program as they cross over into troops as well. So that increase in retention has helped grow those numbers. Then you get into Venturing, which is, again, a growing program. That's boys and girls ages 14 to 21. It's really our high adventure-based program. So if the whitewater rafting and the rock climbing is really what appeals to you in terms of outdoor adventure, we have got a Venturing Officers Association, which is sort of our regional government of youth, that has really helped put a lot of programs together to help our venturing crews that are already out there just do more. We had a great rock climbing event this spring at the Tyler Rock Gym, a lock-in that they participated in. We're looking at doing a long-term camp just for those venturers. We've also got our Sea Scout program, which is kind of parallel to that. We have two different Sea Scout ships, if you want to take that outdoor high adventure theme and put a nautical spin on it. We've got Sea Scouting, and then Exploring, which is our workforce development vocational-based program. It's much more than an internship. It's really a way of taking a successful scouting model and applying it to workforce education. And so we do that specifically with one group. So we'll have law enforcement exploring, or EMS exploring, medical exploring, aviation exploring, really whatever sort of career vocational field those youth are interested in.
Mm-hmm. And years ago, and I know we've talked about this on past visits that you've done with us, Venturing kind of split off several years ago from, it was originally part of the Exploring program.
Right.
And it became a freestanding entity under the Boy Scouts of America. So Just a little bit of history there. I remember when I was involved in the Exploring program, believe it or not, I had a radio post in Jacksonville and Palestine for several years. We used to interact at council and district events with the High Adventure posts, which are now under the Venturing program.
Right.
So just to kind of, folks who have been involved in scouting, anybody who was involved in scouting years ago, and is just kind of circling back around and trying to refamiliarize themselves with the program, there have been some changes along those lines. The same programs, just kind of lined out a little bit differently than they were before. Okay, Daniel Anderson of the Boy Scouts of America, Assistant Scout Executive and Chief Operating Officer for the East Texas Area Council, our guest this morning on In Focus. And always on In Focus, I enjoy the opportunity to talk about food, and popcorn is one of my favorites, and it's also a big cash cow, if you will, for the Boy Scouts. Very much in season right now. What's going on with the popcorn sales? Understand that's your biggest fundraiser.
It really is. 75% of all the funds that are raised stay really close to home. They support Cub Scout packs, they support the council operations, they support a lot that's going on, and so we try and make it as hard for anyone to escape hearing about popcorn as possible.
Okay.
So if you are going to a Lowe's on any given weekday, chances are you're going to see a Cub Scout pack. We've got outposts set up at our Longview store, our Lindale store, our Tyler Lowe's locations, and those are really popular on weekdays. And then Brookshire's on the weekends has been very generous about giving us some space. So it's been a good year in terms of how sales have gone. It's even more valuable when you realize it's a chance for actual Cub Scouts to interface with either other youth who are walking into the store with their families or speak directly to parents. It's not just valuable as a fundraiser. It's also valuable as a way for people to remember that they're still scouting in their community. So it's putting us in front of a lot of people, giving those people an opportunity to support those specific scouts who are out selling. And it's that time of year. You know, with football going on the weekends, pick yourself up a big bag of jalapeno cheddar popcorn. Kick back and relax. Oh, you want something that's more fall-themed? We have a salted caramel popcorn this year, which has been a really good seller. So a lot of flavors, a lot of opportunities, and again, it supports local programs.
Mm-hmm. So Lowe's and Brookshire's are the two main places people will probably be most likely to see these popcorn sales going on?
Yes, those have been the two biggest partners we've had in terms of sales. But again, if you're just trying to find someone, you can call the Scout office.
Okay.
You can go to beascout.org and track someone down and just send them a note. But you should also have Scouts going through the neighborhood. You know, we're one of the few organizations that still does door-to-door sales every now and then. But we want to get out and knock on doors and give people the opportunity. You'll see Scouts toting their red wagons behind them filled up with popcorn so that it's not just placing an order. They're actually selling it right from that wagon. So you have instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. And it's your largest area fundraiser. I understand that there are some scouting units, Cub Packs, troops, explore posts, what have you, that this is really their lifeblood. They run on a day-in, day-out basis on the money they make from these popcorn sales?
Absolutely. We try and encourage something called an ideal year of scouting, which is something that we do over the summer where we sit down with our Cub Scout leaders and say, what would you like to do? What does an ideal calendar look like?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to pay for your Pinewood Derby cars. You want to be able to fund the Blue and Gold. You want to be able to pay for two different campouts a year. And we help those Cub leaders build a budget. Well, then they figure out how much popcorn would we need to sell to do everything we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Would to not have parents come out of pocket for another dime beyond the registration fees. And we have a number of units that are able to hit those goals. They will raise enough through popcorn that events are paid for, that campouts are paid for, that programs and advancement are paid for. And so it's a great way to teach elementary age kids that if you want to budget and set goals, a scout pays his own way.
Mm-hmm.
You can fund your own fun through popcorn.
All righty. And that support stays local or overwhelmingly local? Is that how it works?
Yeah, the only overhead that we have, the only part that doesn't stay local is actually paying for the product and the shipping itself. So 75% of the overall sale, and if you think about any fundraiser that you've done, how often does 75% stay local? You know, you're doing great if you're getting 50-50 a lot of times with some folks, but 75% of this sale stays in the immediate area. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's in individual scout accounts helping to pay for things like day camp and summer camp, paying for things like uniforms, buying Pinewood Derby cars. Again, it's yeah. not just local, it's immediate.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Pinewood Derby and blue and gold, and as we go through the show today, there are going to be some terms that'll pop up that are going to be very familiar to people who have been in scouting for a while or who are connected to scouting in some way or another. For some folks who are maybe novices with the program, those terms may be a little bit unfamiliar, but the best way to get more information about it is to go to beascout.org or to call the scouting office at 903-597-7201 or drop by the office, which I believe is open Monday through Friday. Regular office hours at 1331 East 5th Street in Tyler, just across from TJC. A lot of good folks in there. And a lot of really good resources for scouting, I know. And they'll be glad to visit with you and share that material. So that's what you don't learn on this highly educational show today. You can learn by doing any or all of the above. Talking to Daniel Anderson with the Boy Scouts of America, East Texas Area Council. I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. Now, with all these new families joining, which we talked about quite a bit earlier in the show today, what kind of events is the scouting community offering for them?
We've got a really busy fall in terms of events. The big one that we're excited about is that next weekend, we have a Cub Scout campout where the theme is Into the Woods with mm-hmm. Sasquatch. So you can help us look for Sasquatch in East Texas. It's a great introduction for a lot of those new Cub Scout families to outdoor camping. It's just a one-night event. It's a 24-hour event. You come in on a Saturday morning. You're out on a Sunday morning. And you really get to sort of explore camp. And a lot of the promises that we've made to the Cub Scouts who just signed up, hey, you're going to get to shoot bows and arrows, and mm-hmm. you're going to get to, you know, climb on a rock wall, and you're going to get to do all these cool things. Well, we fulfill that within the first month that they've joined by allowing them to come out to camp. So there's two of those, the first and the third weekends in October. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, next weekend would be the first one. And after that, we've got a number of training events. We have just some great opportunities for people who are starting up the program. So whether you're uh-huh. new to scouting, whether you have been in it for a few years, there's some really cool things coming up this fall.
All righty. And what about the older scouts? What's happening with them? We're talking about advancement focus, something called Turkey Camp, and the girl troops as well.
Absolutely. Well, this council for a long time had a winter camp that it would run after Christmas but before New Year's, and mm-hmm. it had a very strong advancement focus. It was essentially a four-day merit badge mini camp.
Right.
And so a lot of times the East Texas woods are more pleasant in December than they are in June and July. So it was a great opportunity for us to get scouts into camp to complete a lot of merit badges that they otherwise wouldn't have had a chance to do. Well, the trend a few years ago became not to put that camp during December, but instead let's do it in the days leading up to Thanksgiving. And so we had to rebrand it from winter camp to Turkey Camp. A way that other uh-huh. councils had around. But it really retained a lot of the same focus. But because it kept growing, this is now the fourth year that we've done it, it has really added a lot of additional elements beyond just advancement. So uh-huh. some of the high adventure things are starting to work their way in. But as of this morning, we had 17 different troops from six different councils that were registered. So people from Wichita Falls, people from Shreveport, folks from Houston are coming up for this. It's really going to be a big event. Over 300 kids estimated mm-hmm. coming to Turkey Camp. And so that runs the Saturday through the Tuesday of Thanksgiving week.
All righty. And where is that going to be held?
At beautiful Camp Pirtle.
Beautiful Camp
which
Pirtle.
Which is southwest of Carthage on Lake Merval.
Okay. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. I have some stories I could tell about that. Although it's your show, I won't share too many of them. But it is indeed a beautiful place, even more beautiful than it was back in the 70s and 80s when I was involved. Now, I understand the local Scout Councils received a few awards recently. How were you recognized?
Well, we had two that we're very proud of. One was a mid-year growth award, which sort of speaks for itself, but we were recognized by the Southern Region of the Boy Scouts of America for having over 7% membership growth from June 30th of this year compared to June 30th of the year prior. So there are a couple things that go into that. One, obviously growing through adding girls has helped us, but you can also see an increase in retention. The families that are in scouting are choosing to stay with scouting through their re-registration process in the spring, as well as some additional recruitment efforts that we had throughout March, kind of leading up to our day camps at the end of school. So mid-year growth, continuing a scouting trend locally of increases in membership. And then we were also recognized with an endowment award for the stewardship of the East Texas Boy Scout Foundation. So that has really given us a sturdy and strong financial backing for our financial stewardship.
Very good. Daniel Anderson, Assistant Scout Executive and COO with the East Texas Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America, is our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims, and now we get to talk about beautiful Camp Pirtle, where the Big Turkey Camp is going to be held in November. What's going on with Camp Pirtle? It was just, you know, back when I went there in the 70s, and it was just such a beautiful place. It had its own little lake, not Lake Merval, but kind of a nice little lake. We'd go fishing. We had the Adirondack cabins, the rappelling towers, shooting range, just really, really a beautiful facility, and even better now than it was 30, 40 years ago when I was involved.
Well, all of that is still there. There was a big trend about 10 years ago in a lot of Boy Scout properties, and camps kind of had to choose to go one of two ways. Either they were going to fully modernize, and you were going to have sidewalks through camp, and air conditioning, and a lot of indoor spaces, and technology labs, and really make it sort of a Disneyland of scouting. Or you were going to try and stay as rustic as possible and stay true to those roots of what camping was like in the 50s and 60s and 70s. We kind of decided to try and shoot down the middle and have a little bit of both. So when you come out to Camp Pirtle, it's going to look like your dad's Boy Scout camp. It's going to look like a camp that, you know, you would imagine a Boy Scout camp to look like. But then when you go into some of those facilities, you're going to realize, oh, the inside is modern. The outside may look rustic, but the inside is a modern amenity. Some of the improvements that we've made in our dining hall, some of the improvements that we've made in our program areas, things like new boats and new guns and new equipment in a lot of the different program areas. But we've also tried to make it a little bit more comfortable for parents and scouts as well. I know a lot of times this isn't what people talk about when they think, oh, what a great campsite that is. We built new bathhouses, so there are air-conditioned shower houses and restroom facilities, which helps take some of the sting out of rustic camping.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely, listen, when it's hot out there and you got to go, it's nice to have a comfortable, clean place to do that. So we've been fortunate to have that as one of the new projects that we've built out there. But we also have a beautiful pool during the summer that we've put a lot of new equipment into. So it's retained a lot of the classic feel of what a scout camp should look like, or what you imagine a scout camp should look like. Mm-hmm. But we've really tried to modernize it for current youth to enjoy.
All right. And as far as how a family would get connected with all the good things going on, I think we've been over that before, but let's hit it one more time, and maybe one more time before the end of the show. BeAScout.org is probably as good a starting point as any. That's the website, and then you can drop by the office, 1331 East 5th Street in Tyler, right across from TJC, or call 903-597-7201. Any other ways to get connected, or is that pretty, mentioned social media or anything like that, or is that pretty much cover it?
Well, those are your best methods. You know, the other thing you can always do is, a lot of times we've got resources with local churches.
Sure.
Those are our biggest chartering organizations, so check and see if that the church you attend has a Cub Scout pack or Boy Scout troop associated with it. Going through the schools, you know, we just visited nearly every public school and most of the private schools throughout the 17 counties we serve.
Mm.
So those front offices have contact information for which Cub Scout pack recruits from your elementary school campus. So schools can be a phenomenal resource there in terms of getting in contact with us as well.
You bet. Now, obviously, the Scouts have been in the news nationally, some good, some, to be honest about it, maybe not so good. Has there been any local impact from some of the things that have been making news on the national level?
Well, the short answer is no. There hasn't really been a local impact other than discussion over campfires or water coolers, depending on whether you're at your camp out or at your office. That's not to say that it's not an important story. It is to say, though, that a lot of the negativity that has come up, while being very serious, while something that we need to take seriously as an organization, it's not local, and virtually none of it is within the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge what has happened in scouting, believing some of the victims who have come forward with some of their stories. But we also have to acknowledge that that's not indicative of what our program is like now, that safety of children is our number one priority. So its local impact is minimal, but it's still an important thing for us to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of training or awareness exercises that you provide adult leaders and possibly even parents and scouts so they'll be aware of it and so we can continue on that track here in East Texas?
Yeah, absolutely. We have mandatory youth protection training. Locally, we adopted that policy of ensuring that every leader and every individual who is going to camp overnight as part of a Scouts BSA troop or Cub Scout pack or venturing crew has to go through this training
mm-hmm.
in order to sort of know what to watch for, how to protect kids, how to recognize any potential signs of abuse. So before that was a national policy, that was a local policy. We
right.
were one of the first adopters, which I think is part of why we've been able to keep East Texas Scouts safe.
And I remember some of that from, I was actually the exploring chair for the East Texas Area Council for a while back, not too long after I moved to Tyler. And I remember when some of that was first getting started up. So still going and probably changing with the times, adjusting to some of the current issues and current viewpoints and current, things we've learned about this issue during the interim.
Right. We continue to modernize. There are online bullying things that we teach now
sure.
As part of what to watch for. A lot of mental health awareness that we try and teach scouts about as well as parents about. Here's kind of what to watch for. No matter what the challenges or changes are, we're always going to have the safety and security and well-being of youth as our number one priority in this organization.
Sure thing. Talking to Daniel Anderson with the Boy Scouts of America, East Texas Area Council. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. A couple of minutes more or less left in the show. Let's talk a little bit about community partnerships. We've already mentioned your partnerships with schools and with Lowe's and Brookshire's helping out so much with the popcorn venture and with other things as well. I know churches and other religious organizations are a strong part of scouting. Anything you wanted to talk about in addition to that or maybe to expound on that a little bit?
Well, just I really would like the opportunity to say thank you to a number of those Lowe's, Brookshire's especially. Brookshire's has been so good about supporting us in a number of different ways, whether it is through supplies, whether it is through our Scouting for Food campaign that we do in the fall, which is an area-wide food collection for East Texas Food Bank and a number of other organizations. Whether it is financial support that they have given to our programs, Brookshire's Grocery Company has really been everywhere and has always been there for us, as well as a number of other nonprofits in the community. I do want to thank our churches. I had the opportunity this past week to meet with representatives of the United Methodist Church
mm-hmm.
In Palestine, in Mineola, in Tyler, and really get an opportunity to kind of share with them and hear from them about what they're doing to connect with youth and how their youth ministry works, as well as being able to share what scouting does and how we can be partners in that.
And that basically, I guess, pretty much sums it up. And you can always use more partners, I'm sure. And if you want more partners, if you want people just to get involved with scouting, let's give that information out again. BeAScout.org is the website, a good starter kit for anybody just really wanting to get started in scouting and get your child involved with it. 903-597-7201. You can always call in the office located across from TJC at 1331 East 5th Street. It's a funny story. When I was in scouting, every now and then somebody would say, you know, are we going to stay here? Are we going to expand? Are we going to build a new facility? It's never happened. It's still the same reliable Boy Scout office in the same old place. To me, personally, that's kind of a comforting thought.
Well, we have tried to remain a cornerstone of the community ever since, you know, and I'm talking for the organization here, when people think about, the Rockwell images and the Saturday Evening Post, and, you know, we're an iconic organization, but we continue to try and modernize. So our office looks the same way it does when it was built in 1960. But like I mentioned about Camp Pirtle, and that really speaks to overall how this organization has evolved. Come on in. We've got a modern print shop. We've got plenty of opportunities.
And lots of things, including, unfortunately, the end of the show today at hand.
Wow.
But thanks so much, Daniel, as we get ready to wrap things up, for sharing with us about Boy Scouting. Daniel Anderson with the Boy Scouts of America, our guest this morning on In Focus. Thanks again, Daniel, so much for coming by.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Daniel Anderson with the Boy Scouts, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.